Hi, my name is Michael Purvis of Talbachan Capital Advisors. This is the very first Talbachan Passaic Market Perspectives podcast. I'm joined by my long friend and intellectual sparring partner, Josh Silva from Passaic Partners. Together, we're going to look at the world of investing through a lens of cross-asset and derivative frameworks and kick it back and forth.
Sounds great.
So, Josh, we have three topics today, and we'll... sort of go back and forth on these here. But one, of course, is the Fed, always important. The second topic is equity derivatives, how you're seeing that. And then third, sort of some structural trends in cross-asset volatility.
Sounds great. I mean, I think with it being, you know, the day before Fed Day, I think, you know, talking about the Fed and what the Fed is thinking is a good way to start. So I'll let you
Okay, great. Well, so you know, as we all know, the market's been pricing in a lot of Fed cuts, and that really sort of accelerated after the December FOMC meeting. It was as high as 7.3 cuts before the January 25 meeting. That's been priced back a little bit, more about 6 right now. The Fed's dots are at 3. We'll see what we get tomorrow, but I think the broader story here is that we are going to see a walk back in Fed cuts back to the sort of, my view is it's going to be 1 to 2, maybe 3, all done in the first half of the year.
Yeah, I think at one point we were talking about, as you said, 7. And I think when we talk every day, and what we talked about was, if you think they're 7, you should probably be selling equities. And it's pretty evident nobody's selling equities. So I think that the equity market is sort of, I agree, is sort of getting more in lines with what you're calling.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way I look at it is that the first 2 or 3 is basically managing real rates from rising too much. You don't want to have financial conditions tighten too much with some weakening in economic data. If you really think 6 or 7 or more cuts are coming, you're effectively predicting a recession. You probably don't want to own equities, particularly cyclical equities at this point there, particularly given the valuation run-up. So, Josh, how are you looking? What are you seeing in the equity derivatives markets right now, and what is that telling you?
So what I've seen, and this is sort of a pattern for the last few years, is sort of call buying has worked while put buying has not. And so the equity market has adapted to that. You know, you could go back to 2022 where we had a sell-off, and quite frankly, owning put options didn't hedge your position. They lost money. You know, when you look at 2020, it worked really well to own puts. You look at 2022, it didn't. So then people switched to selling calls. And last year, selling calls didn't work. It really dragged on your portfolio. And so the option market is adapted. And what we've seen is a movement in skew, where skew is flattened out quite a bit, and kind of near sort of almost 2005, 2006 levels. What does that mean? That means that people want to own calls. They don't really want to own puts. And I think they're very, very comfortable not only not owning puts, but selling puts, with the thought being, with interest rates where they are, the Fed has plenty of time to cut to actually get the market to bounce back. And I would agree with that. The problem is it's, they don't have 2 days to do that. And so if I think about what's happened over the last 3 months in equities with the chase to capture upside or the chase to underperform, there's room for a decent technical sell-off. In other words, a 5 to 10% technical sell-off, which I think will be then followed by a pretty, you know, continued robust bull market.
Yeah, you and I have chatted about this. I think I'm of the view that so much of the move last year was sort of underscored by this positioning offsides, people being concerned about a hard landing coming into 2023, which we never got there. You know, last year's, 24% plus return in the S&P 500, more than half of that came through November, December. That's an illustration of positioning here. And we're getting some, as we're doing this podcast at the end of January, we're seeing some carryover here right now. I think one thing that I'm certainly watching is that the valuation on the S&P 500 right now is right where it was at the apex of that 2021 rally there, that of course gave way to the bear market. But tying this back to the Fed and also to rate volatility, I think one of the things everyone in the markets has to consider is, okay, let's say I'm right and that we're going to get the rate cuts priced back and to 3 cuts, 2 cuts, and you see the 2-year and other interest rates rise higher. how much tension does that create for the equity markets? Because obviously, you know, spiking rates can be exacerbate all sorts of things from financial conditions and valuations and so forth. But how are you thinking about that?
So, I mean, I always go back to the something I learned in the mid 90s, which is don't fight the Fed is the number one rule. And the second rule is don't fight the Fed. I always like to say the Fed has a dual mandate, which is interest rates and growth. And I say the third mandate is to get rid of volatility. And that's what they're by getting back to more normal interest rates or lowering the nominal interest rates. They're putting a reduction of volatility into the marketplace. They're trying to take uncertainty out of the marketplace by properly getting rates targeted where they do. And it just seems like, and again, I'm taking this on past experience, when the Fed is in an ease mode, it typically takes vol out of the market. It typically takes risk or uncertainty out of the market. Again, that might be different this time, but that's typically what happens. Which leads me into the third topic, which is, where do you see, you know, treasury vol, multi-asset vol, sort of the vol landscape across the board outside of equities at this time?
Yeah, well, certainly we've seen, you know, historic rate volatility thanks to this, you know, just blistering rate hiking cycle, not just in terms of the absolute number of cuts, but in terms of the velocity of those. I'm sorry, the absolute number of hikes, but the velocity of those hikes in 2022 and into 2023. And then you had sort of some term premium related volatility last summer. When the Fed gets to terminal, it typically you see a decline in rate volatility. And I would argue to you, Josh, that even if we see some of this enduring tension by the 7 going to 3 cuts over the next 12 months, that will create some vol there. But it's going to be nothing like what we saw earlier in this cycle here. So my broader thing is that rate volatility is going to be coming down from these record hikes. It's very interesting. If you look at the ratio of the VIX to the MOVE index, MOVE being a VIX for the Treasury curve, it went to record levels in the earlier stages of COVID, and then it went to the other end of the spectrum just last year and where we are right now. And I think that ratio does probably need to normalize, and that normalization process is mostly coming from the MOVE index falling a lot when the Fed is going into what I would call a tweaking cycle. And that, I think, begets this question of, so how do you see the VIX trading this year? What is your expectation for a reasonable range here?
My expectation is as interest rate fall comes down, it takes, as you said, that spread to a more normal level. That's constructive for equities. I think there could be a shock, you know, where we could see the VIX go to 20. But I think VIX is going to behave how it normally has in the past, outside of geopolitical black swan. And obviously, we don't know what those are. In that sort of, maybe if I was to pick a tight range of the VIX, it's 12.5 to 17.5. That's where I think the VIX is going to be most of the year, if I was to pick a very, very tight range. Where we get this sort of upside move on our sell-off, and it happens, you probably want to sell vol. And then we return back to being sort of a general rising market. You know, uncertainty is sort of the enemy of markets. And as uncertainty goes away, I think people are just going to see, as we see on Monday, every Monday, 401k yeah. money comes into the market and we go higher. As we have consistent money going into the market, we just go higher. And it'll be this sort of, you know, technical correction we discussed. It could be 5, could be 10. And then we return back to this sort of 12.5 to 15 yeah. VIX, and we rally up from there with interest rates vol needing to where it needs to be.
I think one way I sort of think about this year is what we have, and it really happened after December, is the sort of this dual Goldilocks. I call it dual Goldilocks because the Fed pivoted from talking about rate hikes into talking about rate cuts in December. Now, it's not going to be as many as the market has been pricing, as we discussed, but it's still a pivot, right? And with unemployment well below 4%, with the economic data really generally quite good. And at the same time, I call it dual Goldilocks because the worker consumer is in a pretty good place, right? Because they're getting wage increases, inflation is falling, gasoline is falling. And dual Goldilocks, to my mind, ultimately, that's a long-winded way of saying that I think risk is going to be on this year. And if risk is going to be on in this dual Goldilocks condition with non-scary rate tweaking.
In an election year.
That's another topic for another podcast. Yeah. But if we're going to be I think we're going to be in a very similar. I think there's a floor in the VIX. Maybe it's 11, 12, but the ceiling's not going to be that high, especially with rate fall making a structural decrease.
12.5 to 17.5. Yeah. On that note,
we'll see you next time.
Yep.
And thanks again for listening. This is, again, Michael Purvis of Tolbach and Capital Advisors. You can find me on Bloomberg, LinkedIn,
And thanks again. This is Josh Silva, Passaic Partners. You can find me on Bloomberg, LinkedIn, and the World Wide Web at PassaicPartners.com. We look forward to our next discussion.
Thanks, Josh.
Bye.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not investment advice. The information, opinions, and views expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended as investment advice. The opinions expressed may not align with Passaic Partners' views or its client strategies. Market forecasts are speculative and should not be the sole basis for investment decisions. Consult your financial and tax advisors before making any investments.